Hi, this is Jessica Drossen, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 119. Full-frame Canon mirrorless, kinda sorta. In this episode, rumors of a possible full-frame Canon mirrorless system, what the heck is Kodak doing? An Indiegogo campaign raises a staggering amount, Kickstarter project woes, and Sweden practically kills the drone market. All that and more in episode 119 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Jessica, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, sister. Jessica Drossen is a talented fine art and portrait photographer whose work you may have seen in the pages of various magazines she's been in, or maybe you're one of the hundreds of thousands of people that follow her on social media. Of her work, Jessica says, quote, "I am a photographer obsessed with telling stories. I strive to communicate both with my subject and my viewer. I want to create work that is both thought-provoking, layered, and emotional, with the goal of understanding and sharing the unique soul staring into my lens." End quote. Jessica was one of those asked to contribute to this year's five-day deal, which many of you guys took advantage of. And if you'd like to see her stunning photography, as well as the awesome actions, overlays, and textures that she's known for, head on over to her website at jessicadrossen.com. That's JessicaDrossin.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 119 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you hitting that subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode, as well as telling all your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. You know, ever since I've been doing this show, you've heard me talk about how to compete against the likes of Sony and the others in the mirrorless arena, the big two, Canon and Nikon, really need a full-frame system, and especially one that uses their current lenses. Without that last part, it is a complete non-starter for like 99% of the people out there. You'd be hard-pressed to find anyone who takes Canon and Nikon's current mirrorless system seriously and is enthusiastic about buying another set of lenses. It's just not happening. We know it, and they know it. And how do they know it? Because they're not selling a whole lot of them. That's how. Well, there are some fresh rumors out of our friends over at Canon Rumors, and according to their sources, they're hearing that Canon is indeed hard at work on a full-frame mirrorless system, and that it will, if the rumors are true, use the EF mount. In other words, all the glass that your Canon DSLR uses right now. Just maybe not at first. What they're hearing is that rather than something that's more DSLR-like, it's going to have a form factor along the lines of Sony's RX1 series, and will have a fixed lens, and that's going to disappoint a lot of people. From my interactions with many of you out there in the audience on this topic, what you want breaks down to this. A, you want to use the lenses that you have now, and B, you want the same experience that you have with your DSLR. So this wouldn't be that. A good first step towards that, and perhaps Canon has a good reason for doing this, but it's still a little bit of a disappointment. You know, the tech that mirrorless affords is wonderful. Being able to see your exposure live in the viewfinder is huge for those that are new to photography, and it's something that everyone actually would appreciate. It's a massive time saver. No more taking your eye away from the viewfinder to chimp on that back LCD. And in bright sunlight where you can't see your photos on said LCD, you can put your eye to the electronic viewfinder and see your images right there, and they look great. Now, there are many other advantages to mirrorless, of course, and if the user experience was the same as you have right now with your DSLR, only the haters would shun them, right? So there's got to be a good reason why Canon just can't make mirrorless versions of their DSLRs right now, and I'm thinking that the lag time with the EVFs is a big part of that. But you know what? They've come a long way, and I think we're not too far away from this problem being solved. So these somewhat compact Sony RX1-like Canon full-frame mirrorless bodies might just be a huge step towards Canon offering mirrorless versions of its cameras, and eventually, they'll all be mirrorless in my opinion. And that's the opinion of many in this industry, actually. If you were designing a camera today, you might not put a mirror in it. You might just go full electronic viewfinder. As encouraging as it is that Canon might be working on full-frame mirrorless, according to Canon rumors, they're saying that even this first step, this one with a fixed lens, might even be a solid year away. So that would be the end of 2017. But regardless of the timeline, I think this is, of course, something that is smart for Canon to do. You know, eventually they're going to get there. Now, as for Nikon, I think it's a completely different story. I seriously have my doubts about their ability to bring something to market, considering their financial state compared to Canon these days. I just don't think they have it in them to do it. They don't have the will, and I don't think they have the money, frankly. That's just my opinion. As we've said here before, Canon is pretty well diversified. Nikon, not so much. Imagine the pressure of having to put out great DSLRs, new lenses, etc., and developing a whole new line of cameras, even if those cameras use your current lenses. The research and development costs to do something like this are staggering. If we're not getting DSLRs with big advancements out of Canon and Nikon, what are the chances they've got something in the works on the mirrorless side that's compelling? I mean, that's quite the financial gamble for them. Listen, the DSLR is long for this world. We all know it. Eventually, the mirrors are coming out. But again, that's only going to happen when the user experience between DSLRs and mirrorless are indistinguishable from each other. That is when things are really going to get real, and Sony, all of a sudden, won't be looked to as the great leader in mirrorless that they are now, because everyone will have mirrorless. So Nikon must get ready for that. And it may be an all or nothing game at some point. All right, so imagine 2018, 2019 rolls around and Canon announces the 5D Mark V and it has no mirror. Or in the meantime, there's a DSLR version and a mirrorless version of that body. And Nikon is over there without a mirrorless option. Yeah, not good. So hopefully these Canon rumors are true. Eventually they're going to come around, like I said. And if Nikon knows what's good for it, they'll have something serious in the mirrorless arena down the road for us. Because, come on, people want the technology that is available in mirrorless systems that just is not possible in the DSLR because that mirror is in the way. So they're coming out, and it's just a matter of who's going to have viable options down the road. I tell you, if the rumors are true and Canon is working on something, and Nikon isn't, that's not good. Next. Whether you do photography for a living or not, you spend a good deal of money on gear. And sometimes that gear requires quite a bit of power, and power isn't always accessible, right? You know, when you're shooting a family on a couch in a field or something like that. There aren't any outlets out there. Probably shouldn't be a couch either. But I digress. Power. Power is very helpful. And that's why a couple of years back, you may recall the ChargeAll portable power outlet that was released. Well, now the company behind it, ChargeTech, is back with a portable battery pack called Plug that they're saying, quote, is the world's most powerful battery pack, end quote. For photographers or anyone else, really, think of this as having two AC wall outlets that you can bring with you anywhere you go. That's something that is going to be very useful to a lot of people. You know, you could do tethered shooting in the field with this powering your laptop. Use this to power a couple strobes or any combination, really. It's 1.6 by 5.6 by 8.6 inches, also known as 4 by 14.2 by 20.3 centimeters. So while it's sizable, it'll fit in many camera bags. And when you consider what it is and what it'll do for you, that's pretty amazing, I think. In addition to the two AC outlets, you'll also be getting two USB ports to charge your smartphone, your tablet, etc., a USB Type-C outlet, which is the future, and a digital display showing how much battery power is left in that unit. Now, speaking of power, the capacity of this unit is 48,000 milliamp hours, which is a crazy amount of power, and likely to be enough for most uses to get you through the day while you're out there with your gear plugged in it. When it's all juiced up, this battery can charge two laptops, 28 smartphones, or 30 DSLR batteries to 100%. In addition to that, it can also do pass-through charging of devices when you've got the plug plugged into the wall itself for charging. Now, if you're the outdoorsy type, and I'm not, Spending extended periods of time in the middle of nowhere, you can pair this with a portable solar panel and you've got near endless power. Now, apparently, I'm not the only person that thinks this is a sweet product because the company only needed to raise $30,000 in their Indiegogo campaign. But with 18 days to go as I record this, they've raised an astonishing $685,000 US. That is more than 2,250% of what they needed to raise. Amazing. Needless to say, they've got a hit on their hands here because there's clearly a market for this product. So for $250 US plus shipping, you'll get one of the plug units in December of 2016, they say, should it actually materialize. Remember, like Kickstarter, Indiegogo is not a store. When this campaign is over, the price is going to jump to $349 for the 42,000 milliamp hour plug travel and $369 for the 48,000 milliamp hour plug pro. You know, whether you're going camping or you're going on a long family trip or whatever, being able to plug in a device to an actual traditional AC wall outlet is a great thing to have. And many cars have those these days. But when you're away from your car, that's when you need something like this. And as photographers, we have a lot of things that we need to charge. And having the availability to plug into power like this is going to be incredibly helpful. If you've got power, options are open to you. You know, I say options are always good. You don't have to exercise your option, but it's nice to have said options. These are a good chunk of change, but for many, they're going to solve a lot of problems and extend their capabilities and more power to them, I say. Wait. Yeah, I said it. Let's move on. Next. I'm 45, almost 46, believe it or not. I can hardly believe it. And growing up, Kodak was photography. A giant in the film business, and when things went digital, the company, despite making early digital sensors, doubled down on film for some reason, and the rest was history. As in, Kodak is mostly history. Perhaps in an effort to bank on nostalgic feelings by those it left behind, the company has announced that it's returning to a strikingly similar logo to the one it used from 1971 to 2006 when they ditched it for a word mark with the word Kodak in red with a yellow line under it, also known as a logo that you or I could have easily created. We didn't, but we could have. Kodak's new logo is basically the classic one that we all picture with what looks to be a giant red K with a yellow background, and rather than the word Kodak running horizontally, it now runs vertically. You know, I hope they did this in-house and didn't actually pay someone to come up with this. If so, I'm in the wrong business. I'll happily change the words in anyone's logo to run the other way for a fee. That's easy money right there. So I don't know what Kodak is up to, but apparently they think that this is the way to go. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. I don't know. I seem to make better decisions than Kodak, though. Speaking of Kodak, the once great company is in the smartphone game, kinda sorta, with an offering called the Ektra. Not Extra, Ektra. A lot of you are going to remember that name from way back. This is not what you're thinking. This is a smartphone. And it's actually the product of a UK-based company called the Bullet Group, which licensed the Kodak brand and mark. The outward-facing camera features a 21-megapixel sensor with an f2 aperture, while the selfie camera around back has a 13-megapixel sensor with phase detection AF and an f2.2 aperture. Now, it looks very much like a point-and-shoot camera, including a working shutter button where it would naturally be on a camera, except this is a smartphone, of course. On the back is a 5-inch HD touchscreen whose interface features a DSLR-like mode dial in the corner, and you can manually choose your settings to take control of your exposure. It has scene modes, a smart mode for auto settings, a Super 8 app that'll recreate classic Super 8 film stocks, 4K video recording, the Android 6.0 Marshmallow OS, Snapseed editing software is included, optical image stabilization, an integrated photo printing app, social media sharing features, 32 gigabytes of storage, and super tough Corning Gorilla Glass covering both the screens as well as the lenses. So while most smartphones these days have great cameras in them, this one's camera's features are front and center. I think some people are going to buy this smartphone because they want something that's more like a camera, but is also an Android smartphone. Now, they're launching the Kodak Ektra in the UK for £449, which is approximately $550 US as I record this. But there's no word on whether or not we're going to see it here in the States or elsewhere. So this thing is Kodak in name only and not really exciting. Fun, but honestly, most people are either going to go for an iPhone or a really amazing Android smartphone with a great camera in it. And not this thing. It's a bit of a novelty. Next. This story is a bit of a cautionary tale, and frankly, it doesn't matter what the product is because it could have happened to just about any product on Kickstarter or any other crowdfunding site out there. You see, here in 2016, when you've got an idea for a product, it seems like you'd sell a ton of them, you get a crazy amount of backers, and the campaign runs for a while. Well, it may very well get ripped off overseas, mostly in China we're talking about here, and hit the market before you can even give it a go yourself. Now, in this particular case, pun intended, an Israeli entrepreneur named Yekatiel Sherman, okay, I'm confident that I got the Sherman part correct at least, raised over $40,000 US for what would retail for $47, and that is, or was, I should say, a smartphone case whose back is a telescoping selfie stick. So if you picture what's essentially a series of vertical gray sticks that move down one by one until extended, you have a very jaggedy looking selfie stick, then you'll get the idea of what this thing looks like and how easy it could be to duplicate it. A very clever design, but like I said, very easy to copy. And that's exactly what happened. Just 1 week after Sherman's stick box hit Kickstarter, knockoffs were already showing up online and selling for just $8. Now, as if that wasn't bad enough, backers of his Kickstarter product found this out, and rather than having some sympathy, they turned on him, with one of them wishing death to the campaign and its creator, and another saying, quote, "Are you kidding me? We need the product now. You're going to have your own lawsuit on your hands if you don't start producing the product that we've all paid for. Stop worrying about the other companies and distribute your product. Your company's barely into its first year and you're already running it into the ground." End quote. Ouch. Kick a guy when he's down already, right? Thanks to the knockoffs that are coming from China, Sherman figures he's lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in potential revenue, as well as the confidence of the 929 people who backed this clever but easily copied product. So this goes to show you that inventing a product and bringing it to market is rough. I don't know about you, but it gives me new appreciation for those that are somehow able to make it work and bring us really cool products. Hopefully, not more selfie sticks, though. We have enough of those already. Next. Is it time to ban drones in public places? Imagine a scenario where you're out with your family, you're enjoying your evening, and there's 10 drones or so flying overhead because their owners wanted to get cool crowd shots. And it wouldn't at all be unreasonable to imagine a couple of them colliding and then crashing to the ground below. Well, first it hits little Johnny and Susie, and then it hits the ground. You get the point here, right? Not only has this happened before, it's going to happen more frequently as drones get cheaper and cheaper and more people own them. Now, don't get me wrong. I love drones. I don't own one, but I love drones, and I think they're a wonderful thing. And I'm not calling for the banning of drones by any means at all. However, there's a lot of stupid people out there that aren't flying drones in a proper manner, and people are going to get hurt, of course. The safety reasons are why people usually want to ban drones. If not that, it's because they're concerned that someone is going to use these to film them in their backyard or whatever. So with the greater issue of surveillance in mind, the country of Sweden has banned drones from flying in public places, not just in your backyard and over your neighborhood, but in public, thereby killing many of the reasons that people had for buying a drone in the first place, not for surveillance, but for flying their drones and getting really cool shots that usually only birds can see. The country's highest court has just ruled that drones qualify as surveillance cameras and as such may not be flown in public places. That is, unless you obtain the proper permit, which of course most people aren't going to do and probably cost a good chunk of change. Also in this ruling, they said that dash cams and those mounted on bicycle handlebars are not considered surveillance cameras because they're being operated in the immediate vicinity of the owner. So those types of camera uses don't require a permit. And I'm also thinking that GoPros probably fall under that class as well. If you're in Sweden, you must now pay a sizable amount if you wish to fly your drone in public and show the county administrators in the location where you're planning on flying that your use of this airborne surveillance camera provides a legitimate benefit which supersedes the public's right to privacy. Yeah, as you can guess, it would appear that most, if not all, requests are likely to be denied, as the court's ruling clearly sides with the privacy of individuals versus someone's wish to fly their drone. Of this, a user in DJI's forums says, quote, "People using drones when they work won't have any jobs on Monday. Recreational flyers like myself are robbed of a hobby. DJI and other manufacturers just lost a market." End quote. Now, this recent ruling overturns that of a lower court's in May of 2015, which stated that the use of drones are not considered surveillance. So this is not good news for owners of drones in Sweden, and this could actually be passed in other countries as well. So we're going to have to see. In 2014 alone, 20,000 drones were sold in Sweden. Who knows how many in 2015 and here in 2016 as well. And 1,000 permits were issued in 2014 by their government for commercial use of drones. So now, if you want to fly over people, you're pretty much out of luck there. If you can't fly in public places, that would also include parks, I'm thinking, because those are in public. What does that actually leave anymore? You can't fly in your backyard because then your neighbors will be upset. So I guess people have to go out to the middle of nowhere if they want to fly their drone, right? All the cool aerial shots that you'd want to get are largely going to be in public. You know, it's because of the camera. That's why you get one of these drones. Otherwise, you'd buy something much cheaper at Costco or another big box store. You know, one of those $50 drones or something, and you'd have fun with it and call it a day. But because these drones have cameras on it, you want to fly it everywhere and get amazing footage from, you know, 100, 200, 300 feet up and then check it out later. Now, I guess you could disable the camera, thus making it not available to surveil people. But then what's the point? You're just not going to fly it in those places if you can't get video or photos. So this ruling in Sweden basically kills off a lot of the drone market there. You're just not going to buy a drone if you can't fly it in cool places in public and get some amazing footage. That's why people get these things after all. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 119 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSH. ARK. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 120. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.
Well, and in the pin. That's easy for me to say. But regardless, that's not a word. Blooper, that is a word. Are indistinguishable. That is also not a word. The company has announced that it's returning to a strikingly similar logo, Now, while not specifically for blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know. I'm singing.